It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's no secret that Wisconsin is known for key agricultural industries like dairy, cranberries, and food processing.
But according to a new analysis, Wisconsin's agriculture sectors are vast and diverse, and there are big connections within the farming and food processing worlds.
The five-year analysis known as Contribution of Agriculture to the Wisconsin Economy digs into the revenue agriculture generates, the number of people it employs, and its environmental impact.
It comes out today. The authors join us now. Steve Deller is a UW Extension Community Economic Development Specialist and Professor in Agricultural and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having us.
And Jeff Hadachek is an Assistant Professor and Extension Specialist in Agriculture and Applied Economics at UW-Madison. Jeff, welcome to the studio.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
Steve, big report. People are going to be citing this thing for the next 5 years till the next one comes out. People picture agriculture, they picture maybe a dairy farm. This is a lot more than that. What all is encompassed in this report?
This is something that we do every 5 years to kind of give a kind of a check-in, if you will, to see what's happening to the ag economy in Wisconsin. And what we're seeing is that this particular go-around is that the actual volume of sales has actually gone up a little bit. So in that regard, the economic impact has gone up. But in terms of employment and income that's associated with employment, has actually ticked down a little bit.
And Jeff, food processing is part of this. It's not just on the farm, but that next step in our food chain. And that's a big deal. That's a big part of our agricultural economy in Wisconsin. Talk about that a little.
Yeah. So we take a pretty holistic picture of what we consider agriculture. And that includes everything from the raw production of the product on farm to all the way to the delivering it to the consumer. And yeah, on-farm activity is about $30 billion of industrial revenue, and food processing is like $107 billion. So when we consider what is Wisconsin agriculture, a big chunk of that includes off-farm value-added production of food products.
And Steve, when you look at the overall numbers of people employed in agriculture and food processing, where are people working? I think the bulk of the labor is in that food processing sector, right?
That's correct. It is in food processing. When you think about dairy, for example, 95% of all the milk that's produced actually goes into value-added cheese production. The other thing is that when we think about agriculture, including food processing, a lot of that is actually located in our urban cities. So when we think about agriculture, it's not just a rural industry. It's woven into the fabric throughout the state's economy.
Jeff, what are the trends in that on-farm employment in particular? Take away that food processing in the city. There are people working on the physical farms. What are we seeing over time?
Yeah, it's certainly decreasing. And I think this is one of the things that maybe is a concern, and it hasn't been a trend for the last few decades, is that it requires fewer people to work on farm and to produce the same amount of food. So a lot of that we can attribute to technological production, right? So we have, on dairies, we have automatic milking systems that don't require as many individuals on the farm. So we see production really relatively stable, but on-farm employment is decreasing.
And Steve, we've talked again and again about the number of farms. I hear dairy in particular, I think, going down. I'm doing a motion on my chart to go down here. Production stable or going up. That implies, again, concentration of the industry. Is that something this new five-year report is reinforcing?
That's what we're seeing. We're seeing kind of the aging of the farmers. A lot of farmers are hitting retirement age. They're starting to step out. The next generation does not want to take on the farm. So we see the number of farms declining, but the land that's in production, the number of animals that's in production has stayed the same and indeed is actually increasing a little bit.
Something that's interesting in the report is you guys do something called, I think, a cluster analysis. So when we think of an economic cluster, people might think about Silicon Valley, right, in California, all these tech businesses together, and that does something. The motor industry, the auto industry in Detroit in the 50s and 60s. What kind of clusters, Jeff, are we seeing in Wisconsin that might be opportunities for future growth?
Yeah, right. And so this analysis really sort of pairs together both that on-farm and off-farm contribution to agriculture. So it asks sort of what is Wisconsin's strengths in production? And probably unsurprisingly, dairy is an economic cluster. We have what we call a location quotient of about 10.3, meaning it is relative advantage.
Right. So one is kind of like average, if I read your report. So 10 is a lot.
Yeah. So one is like average production of all of the U.S. states where if you were to have milk production. And so 10.3 is absolutely huge. It means maybe we're relatively about 10 times more efficient producers in Wisconsin than we are in other states of dairy. So that's unsurprising, right? Wisconsin is the dairy state, and we would expect those things. And so what we say that from that analysis is that there's real opportunity for sort of symbiotic relationships between buyers of those products and the sellers. And so in thinking about agriculture as a more holistic framework from farm to fork, there's opportunity to make that supply chain more efficient and work together and grow.
I think that working together is really important. When I first came into Wisconsin 30 years ago, the dairy industry was not functioning as what we would call a cluster. You kind of had the farmers and the processors kind of ganging up on each other a little bit. Today, they kind of realize they're in the same boat. They have to work together to be more efficient and profitable. They kind of transition from just a group of businesses to an actual viable economic cluster.
That may be particularly true when we think about the concentration, because if we have fewer farms that are producing the same amount of milk, those the processors have to work together with those fewer farms to make sure that production remains viable.
We're talking to Jeff Hatechek and Steve Deller. They are the authors of A Big Report, the big five-year report on the impact of agriculture in Wisconsin's economy. Steve, we're talking about dairy, understandable, big deal in Wisconsin. But dairy is not the only game in town. What are some of the other key sectors you have your eye on for good or ill in this report?
Well, that's one of the things that's always impressed me about Wisconsin agriculture is that it is extremely diversified. We're one of the largest cranberry producers in the U.S. We're one of the biggest snap pea producers, vegetable producers in the U.S. It is extremely diversified. When we do our cluster analysis, the one that always pops out is, let me get the name of it here, fur-bearing animals and rabbit production.
Which people don't think of in Wisconsin.
They don't think of that in Wisconsin, but we dominate that industry. So if you buy a coat and it has a fur lining, like a rabbit collar, odds are that was grown in Wisconsin. Overall, compared to dairy, compared to cranberries, it's pretty small. But our agriculture is extremely diversified.
And Jeff, you point toward this as an advantage for Wisconsin. If we were all pigs and corn, to pick one of our neighboring states, if the pig economy goes down or the corn economy goes down or there's a blight or whatever, that affects the whole economy. Is that a good sign of resilience, that diversity?
Yeah, it certainly could be a measure of resilience. Like, it's a diversified portfolio when we look at the industry as a whole. And so in recent years and in this year in particular, corn prices are pretty low. Our commodity prices are pretty low. And so I think what that means is that we would have a more buffer relative to some of our neighboring states when it comes to net farm income. And I think that was particularly true historically, too, if we look at sort of the 1980s. Wisconsin was less hurt by the farm crisis in the 80s than some of the other states in the Corn Belt here. Yeah.
It also gives individual farmers opportunities to diversify within themselves. For example, if you're a farmer in the state that's south of us, you're basically corn and beans. There's no other infrastructure to support other crops. In Wisconsin, you could go into hops production if you wanted to, because there's a market for that.
Policy-wise, are there things people can take out of the out of this report and other work the two of you do and say, yeah, we want to support that resilient, diverse farm economy in Wisconsin? Steve, let's go to you on that.
One of the things that's happening is that we're seeing kind of a hollowing out in the distribution of farms. We're seeing growth in the very large farms, which gets a lot of attention. We're also seeing growth in the smaller farms. That's kind of related to local foods. It's related to the diversified agricultural sector. So I think one thing that we could do is look at kind of and celebrate the diversity of our agriculture. And also, I think the other issue that is kind of the elephant in the room is labor shortages. A lot of farmers are adopting these like robotic milking technologies, not because they're fans of Star Wars, but because there's a labor shortage. They don't have a choice. They have to adopt these technologies.
And Jeff, I don't want to dig too far into politics. Immigrants are part of the labor pool that is there. A talk of deporting many of them, cutting back even on legal forms of immigration. Do you see concerns that that labor shortage could be more of a problem in the coming years?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we're still sort of learning in these few weeks of what, the ag economy and what sort of this new, the new Trump administration, both the Republican controlled Senate and House mean for the farm bill, mean for, acts like the Inflation Reduction Act that was a pretty big policy for agriculture in the last few years. So it's sort of the Wild West. I really don't know. I mean, what's going to happen in the next 4 years? I mean, and it depends on if, programs to deliver on the promises of their campaigns. And so, yeah, I think it would certainly be there's certainly things to watch in labor and in trade for the economy. And if those things were to be delivered, I think there were going to be some pretty major adjustments that will have to take place on farm, which may represent increased costs.
Steve, in our last half a minute, this report goes through 2022, just because of how data goes. What do you have your eye on in that time period since the end of that report?
One of the things coming out of COVID is that farm income was actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. Part of that was government payments. But the most recent 2 years, estimates from the USDA has shown that those numbers have come down. So the kind of the good post-COVID years that farmers had, they're actually down and are not doing very well. So I think if we redid these numbers right now with the current farm income, the impacts would be a little bit lower.
We'll leave it there. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Jeff, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Been talking to Steve Dollar and Jeff Hadacek. They are with UW-Madison School of Agriculture and Applied Economics. They're the co-authors of the new 5-year report, Contribution of Agriculture to the Wisconsin Economy.